Wake up, it's warm outside. Time to wake up.
Broadcasting live from the Central City Radio Studios, it's the Jacqueline Nicole Show. With your host, Jacqueline Nicole, on King FM, a Central City radio station.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in again to the Jacqueline Nicole Show. I know I have not been on the air for about 3 years now, actually, and I am so excited and very thankful that I get to do another season of the Jacqueline Nicole Show. If you guys have seen the previous Jacqueline Nicole Show 3 years ago, I would have guests on my show. Actually, they were usually friends of mine. Sometimes they were women that I would meet in the community that were doing awesome things, but most of them were my closest friends, and I would interview them, just kind of have them share a little bit of their heart, what they're doing in the community, what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus in today's modern day society. And that was such an honor to do so. I had a lot of fun, and I know a lot of people who heard those episodes were touched. And so I'm so blessed to do another season. However, this season is going to look a little different from the previous Jacqueline Nicole Show. I'm going to be hosting a Save a Life Tour event, which is happening on March 19th, which is in 2 months. This event is going to be my second time hosting, and this event is going to be talking about subjects that are a little bit taboo to talk about in the church. They're a little controversial, and sometimes they could be just very sensitive subjects. But we wanted to bring the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are struggling with thoughts of suicide, anxiety, depression, sexual abuse, drug and alcohol addiction, and eating disorders. So my hope in this event is I really want to highlight these topics that can be a struggle for both people who consider themselves Christians and for people who have never became a Christian or invited Jesus into their hearts. So we really want to shed the light on these topics and just provide hope. We also have so many great people with amazing testimonies that have gone through a lot of these topics that we're touching on and how Jesus Christ was able to help them overcome those areas in their life. And so that is my heart with the event. And what I'm doing is all the people who are going to be speaking at that event, I'm actually having them on my show, and we are going to be asking them questions. They're going to share their heart and their testimony and really just give you guys an inside glimpse of what it looks like in their life to walk out a relationship with Jesus and some of the things that are going on in this world. So with all that being said, I wanted to share my testimony with you. For those of you who have not heard my testimony, this is just a way for you guys to get to know me a little bit better, but also a lot of what this event and the show is about really stems from my own life and some of the things that I dealt with, because I struggled a lot with anxiety and panic attacks, and I also had several different eating disorders in high school. And so I really wanted to just kind of give you guys a little glimpse into my life and how the Lord Jesus Christ was able to help me get through all of that. So a little story for you. And this was actually just a memory for me when I was driving over to the studio today to come record this episode. But when I was telling you guys that I used to struggle with anxiety and panic attacks, honestly, like, I can't even explain to you how horrible it was and how deep I struggled with that in my life. So when I was really young, I was brought up in the church, and I loved Jesus at a really young age. In fact, I don't ever remember not believing in Jesus. I literally feel like I came out of my mom's womb just, I knew who Jesus was. My birth was a complete miracle, and that's something that I will share at the Save a Life tour, so don't get too off topic, but I really shouldn't even have survived the birth, and so I was a miracle baby. And I felt like growing up, being involved in church, it really helped me have that foundation of who Jesus is, and getting to learn about the stories in the Bible was really helpful later on in my life when I was struggling, because I had God's truth in my heart. What happened is in junior high, we stopped going to church. So from the time I was like 2 years old all the way to junior high, I remember being in church and getting to hear the stories in the Bible and just getting to learn who Jesus was. When I was in junior high, we stopped going to church. And at that point in my life, I just felt so enamored by the world around me and everybody that I was with in school. I just really wanted to be popular. I really wanted to be liked. And so it was my main goal to just do whatever it took to be accepted by my peers and to make friends. And so that was really all that I cared about. And I found myself doing a lot of things that were against my beliefs from growing up in God's word and lowering my morals and my standards just to make friends who at the end of the day really weren't a true friend. But I just was so obsessed about being liked by people that I would do whatever it took. And so all the way from throughout junior high and high school and college, I just found myself on this continual road of lowering my morals and my standards to fit in with the crowd. I started drinking and partying a lot in high school. I started skipping class sometimes because I would stay up like super late at night partying. And it started to affect my grades a little bit. And then I also got into this relationship that ended up lasting 8 years, and it started in high school, and it just became really toxic. And I think a lot of that had to do with me not knowing who my identity was in Christ. And so when me and this person I was in a relationship with would get in arguments or we didn't see eye to eye on things, it started becoming like these emotional debates where I always felt like something was wrong with me and I just wanted to be this person's like dream girlfriend. I wanted to be their everything. So I would always change who I was to fit their mold and to fit their standards. And so if that meant changing my hair color or my skin color by getting more tan, or changing my outfit or how I spoke or my personality, I literally started to feel like I was erasing my identity that God made me to be to fit into this person's view of who he wanted me to be. And the longer and longer I did that, and the longer I was in a relationship that I shouldn't have been in, the more and more I started to struggle with panic attacks and anxiety and a lot of irrational fears. I remember also in high school struggling with eating disorders because I was on the track team, and I started to feel like if I was to gain weight, I wasn't going to be as effective on the track team. So I just started doing a lot of things. Really, I was just caving into the lies that the enemy would whisper in my ear. So I remember if I was full of fear that I was going to do well at this track meet, I would, whatever I ate that day, I would go in the bathroom and I would throw it up because I was so worried and consumed about my body image and how I looked to other people. I remember just always feeling like something was wrong with me, and I just always wanted to change who I was to be accepted. From doing that so many times, the panic and the anxiety grew to such a substantial rate where I felt like I couldn't even keep a regular job, because so many times during my work shift, I would literally feel like I was having a heart attack, and I was so consumed with fear where I couldn't breathe. And I would go to the bathroom and I would have to try to collect myself, and I would always call in sick because I was just so full of fear that something was wrong with me. A lot of times when I would go to the doctors and I would tell them my symptoms, they always said that nothing was wrong with me, that I was fine, and they would always ask if I was under a lot of stress. And I was, but I didn't know how to make it go away. And the day that I felt like I hit rock bottom, I was driving home from work one day, and I was just so full of fear and worry, and I don't even know what it was about. And it's like when we're under that much fear and stress, fear is false evidence appearing real. So a lot of times the enemy will whisper lies to you that are not even true and will get you to be afraid of things that are like not even reality and won't even happen. And I remember whatever was going on in my mind that day, I just felt so consumed. And when I was driving, both my arms became completely numb, where I couldn't even feel the steering wheel when I was driving. And so I drove myself to my mom's work, and I was just in tears, and I was like, something's wrong with me. Both my arms are numb. I feel like I can't breathe. I literally felt like the walls were closing in on me. And my mom took me to a chiropractor that we would see often because he would work on professional sports teams. And so my mom kept thinking like, oh, maybe you just have like a pinched nerve, or maybe you slept wrong. And it was really hard for me to articulate to people the amount of fear that was in my mind, because it was so irrational, and it just made you feel like you were crazy and you didn't know how you could explain it to anybody. And so when I went to see the chiropractor and he did his analysis on me, it wasn't very comforting, because he said that in all his professional experience from looking at professional athletes who get injured, whether they're playing, you know, football or baseball or basketball, he was like, I've never seen this in all of my professional career. And he's like, I think that your stress is causing an entire like system like breakdown in your body, where your muscles and your nerves are just shutting down. And he didn't know how to help me. And at that point in my life, I just knew that if I didn't get help, that this stress and this anxiety was going to kill me. I didn't even feel like I even knew who I was anymore. And so I finally caved in and started going back to church, because at this point in my life, I had just graduated college, and my mom kept encouraging me to go to church. And I felt so discouraged and so broken that I didn't want to go to church, because I felt like I would be judged, and I felt so disappointed in myself knowing that I grew up in the church, and I felt like I had made so many bad decisions and mistakes that I wouldn't be welcomed or received, and I just didn't know if I was going to be able to relate to anybody, or even if God was like mad at me because I felt like I disappointed him. But I really had no other options, because I knew that if I continued down the path that I was on, it was going to take me out. And so I just was like, well, I have nothing to lose. If I go to church and they reject me, it's not going to be any different than feeling rejected in my current life. So we're just going to give it a shot. And I remember going to church. It was actually on Father's Day in 2012, which was super symbolic to me now, because God is our Heavenly Father. And when I went back to church, I just remember feeling like I belonged there, and I felt like I was at home, and I felt like a big weight had lifted off my shoulders. And so I thought, okay, I can keep coming here. Like, this is a safe place for me to go. Nobody knows me. They don't know my past or anything that I've done. So I kind of felt like I could just start all over. Well, I started reading God's word for about 6 months during the time I was going to church, because I hadn't been in God's word in so long, mostly because the enemy lied to me and said that I wasn't going to be able to understand it, that when I read God's word, it was going to go over my head, and I just didn't care. I was so desperate for answers and for help. I just prayed and I asked the Lord that he would help me understand what I was reading. And the more and more I started reading God's word, the hungrier and hungrier I got for God's word. And I couldn't believe that I could understand it, and it was just really encouraging. And the more I went to church, the stronger I felt. I didn't struggle as much with the panic and the anxiety, which helped that I can keep going back to church. And around December of 2012, I just had this hunger in my heart that I wanted to surrender my entire life to God. I just wanted to give it all up for him. And I remember I made that decision in my heart that I wanted to rededicate my heart to Jesus. And after talking to the pastors there and getting a lot of prayer, I felt like I mustered up enough confidence and courage to end things with the relationship that I was in for about 8 years, just because it was really toxic, it was unhealthy, and I didn't feel like we were right for each other. And I honestly felt a lot of the identity issues was getting worse from staying in that relationship. And so I it was really hard, because when you're with someone for that long and you really feel like that's the person that you're supposed to marry and your whole life revolves around them, I ended up making this person a god in my life, and everything in my life surrounded around this person. And so when I broke up with them, it was like I was breaking up with my God in my life. It was like a total ripping away. I felt like I had to start completely all over again. But the tug on my heart from my Heavenly Father, God, was so strong, and I knew I had to do it. I just knew that this was God calling me back home to have a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. So when I broke up with my boyfriend at that time, my mom got me a Bible, and it was an Amplified Bible from Joyce Myers. It was the study Bible. And what I loved about it is it broke down God's word in everyday life examples. And there's sections in there that show you how to apply God's word to your everyday life. And I started reading a lot about God's goodness and trusting in God. And those were two subjects in the back of the Bible, and it just really resonated with me. And the more and more I started speaking God's word over my life, the less and less fear that I started having. And it was almost like when I rededicated my heart to the Lord, I literally felt God take my heart that felt black, full of hurt and sorrow and heartache and pain, and take that heart completely out and put His heart into me. And I literally felt it was like a 360 degree change. It almost felt like I took my very first breath. If you feel like you're living your entire life underwater and you can't breathe, and you finally come up for your first breath of fresh air, it's the most amazing feeling. And after I rededicated my heart to the Lord and spending time in God's word, that's when the healing really began. And the longer and longer I built up my relationship with Jesus through reading His word, going to church, and just spending time with Him in prayer, I never struggled with that anxiety and panic attack anymore. And the fear just kept getting less and less and less. And that's always my hope and my encouragement to other people. If you're struggling with anxiety, if you're struggling with depression, if you're struggling with thoughts of suicide, or you feel like you lost all hope in your life, if you're struggling with an eating disorder, or maybe you're going to sex or alcohol or drugs to numb the pain in your life, all I can say is that the more you go to those things, the worse you're going to feel, and the emptier you're going to feel, and the more hungry you're going to feel. And Jesus Christ is the only thing that ever worked for me. And I made a promise to myself that I did not want to go to anxiety medication to solve my problems, because I already felt like I was going to so many things to numb the pain in my heart that I knew that that was just going to be another crutch for me. And I really wanted to experience life without trying to numb my emotions and my feelings, and allow God's Holy Spirit to come into my life and do the real healing in my soul that needed to take place. And so that is my encouragement for you. There's so many other things I can share with you that God did in my life, but I wanted to save some of those moments for the Save a Life Tour, because there's other things that God had did in my life by giving me dreams, and I was able to hear His audible voice in my dreams when I was really young and I was struggling. God pursues you when you are at your worst. I just want to encourage you that you do not need all your ducks in a row or to have your life all figured out before you can come to God. He will meet you when you are in your pit, when you feel like you cannot go another day and you feel like life is closing in on you, that you're in a sinking sand of despair, and that you don't even want to live anymore, and you feel so discouraged and disappointed, and you think God is mad at you. I just want to tell you that that is a lie. There is hope. Jesus Christ is above anxiety. Jesus is above depression. Jesus is above suicide. Jesus is above addiction and eating disorders. And any problem that you have in your life, Jesus will meet you in your pit and he will pull you out and he will give you hope. It is never too late to turn to him. And God loves you so much, which is why he sent Jesus Christ down to die on the cross for your sins. We cannot save ourselves. No amount of good works that we will ever do in our lives can get us into heaven. This is a free gift that you cannot earn. You do not deserve it, but Jesus loves you so much. And if he could do it for me, and if he could do it for all the other people who are on the Save a Life tour, who went through all of those topics that I shared with you and are now walking free in their life with freedom and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and God was able to turn their life around. If he could do it for us, he can do it for you. And so I wanted to end this episode with an opportunity for you to make Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior. If you have never accepted Jesus into your heart, I'm going to say a salvation prayer. But if you do know Jesus, but you are struggling in some of these areas and you feel like he's calling you into a deeper relationship with him and you want to rededicate your heart to the Lord, then I'm going to also say that prayer for you today. So if you want to just bow your head and close your eyes, and we're going to pray. So dear Father God, we just thank you so much for being with us this entire episode as I was able to share and pour my heart out to these guests. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you touch every single person under the sound of my voice. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you know exactly their struggles, Lord. You know where they hurt the most. You know where they feel the most broken and when they feel like there is no more hope in life. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would remove every ounce of pain and sadness and despair and sorrow. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill each individual with the love of Jesus Christ, Lord, that the peace of Jesus would wrap around their minds and their hearts. And if they are feeling like they have walked so far away from you, Lord, and they feel so discouraged and disappointed, I pray, Jesus, that you will wrap your arms around them, Lord, that they can hand you their heart, Jesus, and in return, you will put your heart into them, Jesus, and give them a new heart, Lord, that you will give them a new life, that they can feel like the real them, that they were always born and created to be, Lord, because your word says that there are books written about us in heaven, that every day was designed and prepared ahead of time before we ever came into this world. And Lord, your word also says in Jeremiah 29:11 that the plans that you have for us are not for destruction or despair, but to bring us hope in our final outcome. And also, if you have not made Jesus your Lord and Savior, please say this prayer after me in your heart, and then I would encourage you to tell somebody that you made this decision, or you could reach out to me and let me know that you made this decision, and I can point you in the right direction for what the next step is. So, dear Father God, I ask you to come into my heart. I repent of my sins. I know, Lord, that I cannot do life without you. I cannot save myself. I need you. I thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. I thank you, Jesus, for how much you love me. I pray that you will come into my heart, that you will be my Lord and my Savior, that you will be my best friend. I thank you, Jesus, that you are giving me your Holy Spirit in my heart to comfort me, to lead and guide me throughout life, and to always point me in the right direction. I thank you, Jesus, that with you in my life, I am never alone and that there is always hope. In Jesus' name, amen. If you guys said that prayer for the first time today, just thank you so much for spending this time with me, for me to share my heart with you. I am so excited that you made that decision to allow Jesus Christ into your life. And I am more than willing to point you in the right direction if you need to find a home church, if you need some tips on how to get a Bible. But whatever you chose today, if you did not make this decision and you're still thinking about it, Jesus loves you and he is always waiting for you with open arms to welcome you into his heavenly kingdom. So with that being said, I look forward to seeing you guys next time on the Jacqueline Nicole Show. I wish all of you guys a blessed night. Bye.